Luke chapter number 10. And of course, we'll be in the same passage of scripture we've been in for the last couple of Wednesday nights and trying to dig everything that we can out of this. As I've said before, when we started this thing, it was a vision the church vision is what we're looking at here, what we're going to trying to implement. And as I was telling you, God was just helping me with some things. And how do we help? How do we reach this generation? How do we reach the folks that are outside of our doors? And I think that a lot of us have agreed up to this point. I think that I've done the so far with the outlines and everything. I've had a lot of messages from people telling me that they agree and that they're wholeheartedly in agreement and with us on this. And I want to help you and help you to understand. We give the vision two Wednesday nights ago, and then we said, what we decided to do was now we're going to talk about how we implement it and how we're going to achieve it. And so last Wednesday night, we spent the entire service dealing with the ministry of outreach and how we're going to reach them. And we talked about the object and wanted to make sure that everybody understood that we're dealing with people. When it goes down, when it boils down to them, you can call them anything you want to. And that's what's so bad about society today is we call people all kind of different names and we identify people with different things. But at the core, every single one of us, I need some help right here, are human. Amen. That means that the liberals, that means that the Republic, every single one of us is humans. Can I get somebody to understand that? It doesn't matter the color of our skin. It doesn't matter how much money we got in the bank. It doesn't matter anything else. At the bottom, at the core of it all, we are humans. According to the Bible in Genesis chapter number 3, the Bible said that Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was a mother of all living. So when it all boils down, you can trace it all the way back to one place. Can I get a witness right here? It doesn't matter what color skin they are. It doesn't matter how they speak, how they look, how they talk. It does not matter. The fact of the matter is that somewhere down the line, you're kin to every one of them, all right? And so anyhow, let's just make sure we understand they're human. Now, we need to also not only the object there, but we wanted to look at the opportunity. There's an opportunity before us every time we open a door, every time we walk outside of our house. There's an opportunity for us to witness or reach somebody that's hurting. And we went over the opportunity and then we went over the objective. What do we do when we do find someone that's hurting? Our objective, what is our objective? Our objective is to love them. The Bible says that the Samaritan have compassion on him. And that's what God expects from you and I. You can't expect God to show you compassion when you won't show compassion to anybody else. I need an amen right there. You can't expect God to forgive you if you won't forgive anybody else. And so it's a very good Bible principle here. We have an opportunity. We have an object. We have an opportunity. Now the objective is for us to love them as Christ would love them. So we see this ministry of outreach, but we want to move on tonight. We're going to move into the ministry of caring, all right? This ministry of caring, I believe, will help us tonight if we'll allow it, but we're going to look at a few things. We're going to read in Luke chapter number 10 and verse 33 through verse number 35. We've got the whole story. We've read it a few times and several times. We're just going to grab some verses out tonight, 33 through 35, and that's all we'll read. The Bible says, "But a certain Samaritan, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." And so we see here an opportunity. We see here this ministry of caring. Now, we talked about last week reaching out, this ministry of reaching out and reaching out to those that are hurting. But once we reach out to them, that the job doesn't stop there. I need somebody to help me right here. If we're going to do our part in reaching people today in this generation, it's not going to be just let's go get them and get them saved and that's it. And that's what we've gotten to, I'm afraid, in our churches, and our church included in this. We spend a lot of time in outreach, and we spend a lot of time in leading somebody to the Lord, but then we're hands off after that. In other words, we get them to church, we get them down to the altar, they pray a prayer, they get saved, and then what to do next? How many of you remember when you got saved? Amen. I don't know about you. Maybe you grew up in a church, but if you didn't grow up in a church and you got saved, was there more questions after you got saved than before you got saved? Sure there is. I mean, when you come in here, you're just looking for one answer. God, can God help me? Will God help me? How can I get help? That's how you come into church. You get saved and then it's, now what? Am I supposed to come to church? Am I supposed to get baptized? Am I supposed to join the church? Am I supposed to do, what do I do now, preacher? And the problem is that you and I have the responsibility of doing that and helping them. We are to disciple them. And the caring ministry, the ministry of caring, is not just reaching them, but then it's doing something for them when we do. Can I say this, that when you get saved, it doesn't mean that all your problems are fixed. Amen. When you get saved, it doesn't mean that all your problems are fixed. It doesn't mean that everything that you've gone through up to this point just goes away. How nice would that be? Somebody say amen right there. Hey, I'd get saved every day if I could just have everything give away. Amen. But that ain't the case. All right. So we see the ministry of caring. I want you to notice four things with me on the ministry of caring. We're going to preach them fast. But I want you to notice, first off, the participants of caring. I want you to notice here, I see three participants in this thing. I want you to notice in verse number 33, the Bible says, but a certain Samaritan. I believe this Samaritan is a picture of you and I. As I've already stated before, he had no right to help. He's, of all the people that came by, he was the least likely to help this man that was in trouble. You had a priest come by, he should have been the one to help. He should have been the one that reached out and said, listen, son, I can help you, or reached out and done something for him. Lord knows he had the means for it. He had the money. He had everything else. He could have helped him out, but he didn't. Not only that, but we see a Levite that came by, and he passed by on the other side just as well. He should have been the one that would help him. It's almost implied that it was one of his own countrymen, and yet he passed him by. But the very one that stopped and helped was a Samaritan. I noticed something about this. He is a picture, I believe, of the saint. You and I have a responsibility to those that are half dead in the ditch. Somebody say amen right here. And it's our responsibility to reach them. Say, preacher, I ain't got no responsibility to reach them. I got things to do in my own life. I got a lot of responsibility. Shame on you. Because if it wasn't for God coming to where you was at, if it wasn't for somebody coming to you when you were lying in the ditch, you'd still be in a ditch. You'd still be hurt. But God showed up where you was at. And God loved you like you as his own. And if anything, you and I ought to be the ones that say, hey, look here. Look here, there's somebody that can help you. There's somebody that can help you. There's somebody that can heal these wounds. There's somebody that can take care of you. We see the Samaritan. Not only that, we see the Spirit. As I was looking in this thing, the Bible says in verse number 34 here, our second verse, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Oil and wine. If you go in your Bible and you do any kind of typology and any kind of, I love typology. If you've been around here long enough, you know that a lot of my sermons deal with some typology somewhere, somehow. I'll get it in there somewhere because I just love it. But the oil here is a representation, and always is in typology, of the Spirit. So we see the participants, we see the Samaritan, and we see the Spirit. But then we see the wine. Oh, somebody say amen right here. We ain't talking about Budweiser. Is everybody all right? I was looking at this thing, wine. What does wine represent in your Bible? The blood and the sun. Y'all quit reading up there. These guys act like, I got my outline sitting back there on the thing. They're all sitting there looking at it, reading it, acting like they're all, oh, yeah, it represents the blood. It reads right back there, the wine which represents the blood. They ain't smart. Participants of caring. We see the Samaritan, we see the Spirit, and we see the Son. Amen. Can I say this? Those three have to be involved in salvation.
That's right.
The Bible says in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 14, how will they hear without a preacher? All right? That means you and me. Not that don't mean Brother Robbie.
That's right.
That means us.
That's right.
All right. How are they going to hear? How are they going to hear without a preacher, without somebody to tell them about Jesus and tell them about the gospel? So you got to have that. You got to have the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says that he has to convict the heart. That's his job. That's his ministry, is to convict the heart. But the only salvation comes through one, and that is the Son. Exactly. And so salvation, we see the ministry of caring. We see the participants of caring. Not only that, but we see the price of caring. Not only do we have to reach out to these people, but it's going to cost us something. I need somebody to help me right here. It's going to cost us something. It's not something that you and I, we want to hear about. Most of us has got our budget so tight right now that anything outside of that is going to hurt us. But it takes money. It takes other things. It's a cost. There's a price to caring for people. I notice it takes time. It's a sacrifice of your time. You can't help somebody if you're not willing to sacrifice your time. And the sad thing is that most people aren't willing to sacrifice their time. That's why it's such a hard time for people to get to church, because they don't want to sacrifice their time. Now, you move beyond that. Now I'm asking you to do something else, not only to sacrifice your time in coming to church, but now we're saying you want to sacrifice your time to help somebody. Can I say this? It'd been a shame for somebody to not sacrifice their time and tell you about Jesus. As I look at this thing and I think about it, he probably had all kind of things that he was doing. Back then in those days and in that time, he couldn't just go a little faster and make the meeting that he had scheduled. Is everybody all right? The Bible says that he put this man on his own beast, meaning that they weren't moving very far. I'm thinking we're talking about a donkey here, not a thoroughbred. Can I get a witness right there? Ain't got to worry about him breaking the speed limit. He stopped and he ministered to this man, and it was a sacrifice of his time. I don't know where he was headed. I don't know what he was doing. The Bible does not tell us that. But I think from the inference that God is making here, that Christ is trying to, the point that he's trying to get across, I think it infers that this man was very busy and he had something else going on. Y'all, is everybody all right? You see, the priest, by God saying that the priest passed by on the other side, he says, my time ain't worth it. By the Levite passing by on the other side, he said, my time ain't worth it. But somebody had to sacrifice their time. And if we're going to reach this generation and we're going to care for them, then we're going to have to sacrifice our time. That means some of us is going to have to do some things that we ain't willing to do right now. Now, I'll tell you, let me tell you something about the generation that we're trying to reach. They all got babies. So why is it so difficult for us to get somebody to work in the nursery? Y'all make sure Michelle knows about this, because she'll be kissing on me all night if I tell everybody that she needs nursery worker. We're trying to reach somebody that has kids. You can't. And this is one thing that I come to, and we'll talk about this later on tonight, but this is one of the things that I come to. You can't have outings until the 25 to 35-year-olds don't bring you kids. Come on now. You can't do that. That's just stupid. I'm sorry, you're not supposed to say stupid in church, but it fits, so I just went ahead and used it, all right? But with you're dealing with that generation, you can't just say, all right, y'all, we're going to have an outing, but you got to leave your kids at the house. Oh, we're going to have church, but we don't really have anything for them during church. I need some help right here. Are y'all getting where I'm getting here? All right, and a lot of times what people don't want to do, and this is what we hear all the time, I don't want to miss out on the service, so I don't help in the nursery. And that's a noble thing. I appreciate that, and that's sweet and everything else, but most of them that's saying that ain't even here for church service. So we need some help, is what I'm saying. If we're going to care for people the way that we need to care for people, then we're going to have to be willing to sacrifice some of our time. That means I know everybody loves the service, and I know everybody enjoys the singing, and I hope you all enjoy the preaching. But at the end of the day, somebody's got to look out in the parking lot and make sure nobody's breaking into my car. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. There's ministries. Is everybody understanding what I'm saying? There's things that are going on. You say, your way of sacrificing your time might be for you to reach out to somebody and personally, one-on-one, disciple them, and that's a wonderful thing. But if you're not, the least you can do with your time is get involved with ushering, get involved with going out in the parking lot, making sure nobody's breaking into our cars, getting out there in the nursery, getting out there on Wednesday night surge when we have the kids out there in the summertime, or when we have Awanas going on Wednesday night, and in the summertime, the 3 to 6 year olds out there. All these things, this is how we sacrifice our time. Come on now, help me, y'all. Is everybody understand what I'm saying? We've got to be willing to sacrifice our time if we're going to care for these people. You can't just throw them in here and tell them, oh, bring your kids into church because we ain't got nothing for them. Now, understand that they probably, some of them ain't going to want to turn their kids loose on this crowd around here. But there are some. They're not going to get anything out of it if all they're doing the whole time is trying to correct a youngin'. Trying to keep a youngin' busy, is everybody with me right here? You got to sacrifice your time. Not only that, you got to sacrifice your toys. I meant possessions here, but toys fits, and I was looking for a tea, and so that's what we went with. But here, the Bible tells us that this man put him on his own beast. Oh, I ain't talking about, you ain't got to give him a car. It's all right. Is everybody okay? That ain't what I'm talking about, but there's some things that we need to be willing to turn loose of. Maybe a meal would be a great way to start a conversation with somebody. You know how, I don't know very many people that would turn down a free meal, especially Baptists. Amen. That's right. And especially fried chicken. Well, I kind of went along with Baptists, but anyhow, y'all know what I'm saying right there. But what would it be like? Some of these people that you're begging to come to church, what would it be like if you turned loose of something that you had a stranglehold on to get them to come to church? Not only are we sacrificing our time and our toy, but we sacrifice our treasure. Probably the treasure and the possessions go the same, or the toys go the same. We've got to be willing to. The Bible says that this man not only set him on his own beast, but the Bible says that he paid for his care. Yep, the Bible says this. He said he gave them, on verse number 35, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. He said, here's $2, and this will get him started on his treatment. When you run out of that, he's going to have to come up with it on his own. No, he said, this is a down payment. This is what I have now. When I come back through, if that ain't enough, you let me know and I'll do whatever I need to do. We're talking about caring for people. And there's a price to it. I wish we could care for people and it be free, but the fact of the matter is it ain't. It takes an investment on our part. I pray y'all getting this. It takes an investment on our part. You know why? You know how you can care for somebody? Somebody missed Sunday school last Sunday. Have you called them? Have you called them? Because it ain't just good enough that the preacher checks on them. They need to know that you. See, what I loved about that testimony that they give was the preacher was with them the night that it was happening. I was there with them. Many of you didn't even know what was going on at that time other than what you'd heard on Facebook and everything else. I had the luxury of knowing more about the situation, and I was there in Gainesville with them. But the best part of that story was the days that followed, and member after member. Are you hearing me right there? They expect, to a certain degree, we expect the preacher to be there, but you being there is completely unexpected. Is everybody with me right here? Now, are we tying everything together right now and understand what I'm saying? When was the last time you called and checked on somebody? Oh, that's Brother Robbie's job, or that's the staff's job. They'll handle all that. When was the last time you reached out and talked to somebody? When was the last time you reached out and said, hey, been missing you, just wanted to check on you and see how you was doing? When was the last time you done that? Yeah. Wouldn't you agree that we could all do better? We could all do better. We could all do better in making sure that people are cared for. But it's going to take a sacrifice of your time. Can I say we got this down to a science? You know, used to, you'd have to go by and visit. Then we come along with technology and you could pick up the phone and call them. Now we've moved on to where you can just shoot them a text. Can I say that a lot of people ain't got time to pick up the phone and talk to you? I need some help right here. I need somebody to say amen. A lot of times people ain't got time to sit there and talk to you on the phone. Okay, now that everybody knows that, you'll know why I don't answer your phone call. All right? If it's important, leave me a message. I'll call you back. If I don't answer the phone, I ain't screening you. Well, I might be screening some of your calls. But anyhow, a text. Hey, Brother Robbie. Are we having church tonight? Yes. I have answered a question and avoided 30 minutes on the phone. How you doing? I'm doing great. How you doing? Well, you got a second? Yeah, I got 1 second, but somehow that well took up all of that. Right? So what do? We got to sacrifice some of our time. We got to sacrifice some of our... We got to be willing to reach out, and it's made easier for us today. But we got to help. We got to do our part. We see the price of caring. Number three, we see the progression of caring. I noticed that there was, number one, a connection that's found. This is where I think we're at right now. Most people come to church, and we've gotten into the rut of, and I did this with Miss Georgia last Wednesday night. We've gotten into the rut of we have a pre-recorded saying. How you doing? Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. I'm glad you're here. Amen. And we rehearsed it. Some of you rehearsed it in the mirror. Hey, welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. I'm glad that you're here. All right. And that's great. We want to reach out, and I'm not telling you not to do that. That is wonderful. We want to do that. But there has to be a connection made. Do you understand that people are not going to stay at this church if they don't make a connection in the church? Say, well, some people are hard to get connected to. You were probably one of them too. The fact of the matter is that we can all connect somehow or another. Do you think that most of you connected to me somehow, some way, in some manner, you and I have connected in some way, or you wouldn't be here? But they need more connections. Is everybody hearing me? We're living in a world right now where social butterflies are, this is the generation we live in. That's why we have social media. That's why we have these things where people can, they steady talking. As I was telling you with Caitlin, I'm sorry, Caitlin, turn red for me, all right? But anyhow, Caitlin's sitting there texting 900 miles an hour. I'm telling you, she has more conversations in one day texting somebody than I did when I was her age in 3 weeks. Can I get a witness right there? But the thing is that she's connecting with people. And that's what I think that our church is missing. We got to find that connection. You look at this man and you say, well, how is he connected to this man that was in the ditch? If you go back all through the Bible, you'll find out the Samaritans wasn't looked on very nicely. Matter of fact, they were a half-breed. That's what they were considered, because they weren't full-blooded Jews, so they really didn't fit in. If there was anybody that was wounded, have you ever been somewhere and not fit in? Have you ever been somewhere and you wish that you wasn't there? Come on, I need some help right here. It's just as bad as being hurt laying in the ditch. Can I get a witness right there? He'd been where that man was. He'd felt the pain that man had. How about you? Have you? You know, we got folks that's coming to this church, and I hate to say it, but there's some people in this church, I don't know their names. But I would take it this. I would say this. There's some of you that ain't got a clue who half of the people in this church are. So what do we got to do? We got to connect. And we're going to connect on different levels. We're going to connect differently. I don't know how that is. I don't know where that is. That's something that you've got to find. And you've got to, how do you find out how to connect to somebody? How do you find out? You got to talk to them. You got to talk to them. When we did the care team, I had some ladies that I would get to help me. I got Tammy Caldwell to help me, and I got CeCe Dowdy to help me. You know why I got both of them? Because they can talk the paint off of that wall right there. I'm being as serious as I can be. Why have somebody in there that ain't going to talk? I'm with the care team. And the visitors are like, who's the statue over there? Well, that's Brother So-and-so. He comes to the church. He's on the care team. He does a great job with the care team. What is he, the guard? Is everybody all right? So I got Miss CeCe and Miss Tammy in there, and they just steady. Hey, I can't even understand. I think they're speaking in tongues sometimes. And she'd just steady talking, and I'd stand over there, and Miss CeCe would be talking to him, and I'm standing over there. I'm talking to somebody else the whole time I'm talking. CeCe's just, she done got their whole life story. Their social security numbers, date of birth, everything else. I mean, we could steal everything they had by the time CeCe got finished with them. What do? We made a connection. Then all of a sudden, hey, I hear somebody say, hey, I got family, I'm from Brunswick. All right, there's a connection. Hey, I'm from Brunswick. Nice to meet you. I get to talking to them. Here we go. There's a connection somewhere. Even if we're different, there's a connection somewhere. I met a family. I went to their house here recently, and they're Gator fans. Don't look. Don't, because you give yourself away, all right? But they're Gator fans. And Jesse, you know I don't like a Gator fan. Jesse's a Gator fan and one of my dearest friends. But anyhow, I seen he come up in the church with a Gator shirt on. Amen. God help me. I mean, there's some things I can handle, but I it's like I told him, don't be coming up into my house wearing something like that. So I went to his house with my bulldog visor on. I normally wouldn't make a visit like that. I normally wouldn't make a visit like that with a bulldog visor on. But I showed up at his house, and when you could just see it all over his face when he walked out on the porch and seen me. Like, is he going to come up in my house with a bulldog visor on? I'm making a point here. We were very much different in whom we liked. But we had very much in common in how fanatical we were about who we liked. That's right. And so you know what happened? A connection was made. I'm trying to show you that you ain't got to be just like somebody to make a connection with them. We can all, come on now, I need some help right here. We can all make connections. That connection has to be made. And if that connection ain't made in a very short period of time, they will not stay. That means that it's going to take all of us doing our part to make that connection. We see not only a connection that's found, but we see a congregation that becomes a family. I preach this from the very moment that I've gotten here. I believe that what separates our church from a lot of churches is that we're family. I need that. I don't know about y'all, but I need that. I don't look at you. Some of you are my dear. I mean, you're closer than my family. A lot of you are closer. I don't spend this much time with my family. Somebody say amen. Amen. You're my family. Not only you got to make a connection, but you got to have a family. You got to have a congregation that becomes a family. Man, there's grandmothers all through this congregation. There's mamas and daddies all through this congregation. Brothers and sisters all through this congregation. Some of you so close, somebody would mistaken or would mistake you as being brothers and sisters. Miss Lucy, y'all know Miss Lucy Jones sit back there. She'll tell you right quick, I'm her youngin'. I'm just going to throw this out there. If y'all want some, go get some. She liable to whoop everybody in here. But she has adopted me as her youngin. She'll tell everybody, "That's my. Don't be messing with my pastor. That's my son." Amen. That's all. I'm glad. Because yes, I sure do miss my mama. Is everybody with me right here? There's some grandmothers in here. I'm glad. Because I sure do miss my grandmother. Congregation that becomes a family. And then a church that facilitates. A church that enables them to come. This is something that we're moving toward. We want to make this a church where, and to have things here where they don't have to go to the bar to get them. They can come to the church and find the connection, the family, and be able to socialize with people that are like them. Instead of standing over a bar, standing at the bar with a Budweiser, talking about how crappy their day's been. I shouldn't have said that, Trent. That's Trent's word. How horrible their day's been. Is everybody all right? Instead of that, come on. They standing whatever around the church talking about how good God has been.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hello. The progression of caring. Lastly, and we're done, the patching up and caring. The patching up and caring. It takes the involvement. I already talked about this already, but the involvement of everyone. It takes the involvement of every single one of us. It cannot just be the preacher. We all have to do our part. The Bible talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Paul talks about all the troubles and trials that he went through, and he says this. He said, "Of everything, all my afflictions, everything that I've been through," he said, "it's been for your consolation." He said, "It's for your consolation, so that with the same comfort that I found, you may be able to find comfort also." What that means is this. Those of you that's been through a divorce and know how hurtful and damaging it is, amen, God will use it for the consolation of somebody else that comes into this church going through the same thing. Some of you's lost youngins, some of you's lost jobs, some of you's lost whatever, your means, your family member, whatever. And God's going to take all that. It's hurt, man, it hurt. But you got through it. God brought you through it. And now God's going to put you right back in it. Amen. So that you can help somebody else get through theirs. It takes involvement. We're going to patch these folks up. We're going to help them. If we're going to help them, we find them. We're going to do an outreach and we're going to find them. Now we got to care for them. We're going to patch them up. It's going to take all of us. Because I cannot relate with somebody that lost a child. I cannot relate with somebody who's gone through divorce. I cannot relate with some of these other things, but you can. Some of you cannot relate with getting drunk on a Friday night or a Saturday night. I can. There's other people that can. Some of you can't relate with doing drugs. I can. And there's other people in this church that can. Some of you is not going to relate on the same things that me and that I'm able to relate, but I'm going to have some deficiencies that I'm going to need you to step up to the plate and do your part in. It takes all of us, the involvement of everyone. Not only that, but the inspiration for everything. I noticed this, and I'm done. I wanted to end on this note. The inspiration for it all was when God found me in a ditch. The inspiration for it all wasn't because we need more money and need more tithe. It isn't because I need more friends. It isn't because I want to have the biggest church. The inspiration for all of it is because of what he did for me. It's because of what he did for me. That's the inspiration for it all. That's what I want people to see. That's what I want people to go. That's what I want them to experience is, hey, there's somebody that found me when I was laid in the ditch, when I'd been stripped of everything, when I had been left half dead. There was somebody that cared enough to come to where I was at and tell me about somebody that could help me out. And then they took me. Oh, don't miss this. Then they took me to an inn that was called the church. Somebody help right here. They took me to an inn, which is called the church, and they put me in the care of some other people, and they took care of my bill, and they said, hey, if you'll stay right here, you can mend up all those problems. You can mend up all those wounds. You can leave out of here better than you came in. Don't know a whole lot about that man that was laid in the ditch. Don't know a whole lot of his story after he come out of that inn. But I think it must have ended pretty good. I think it must have ended pretty good. Oh, I do believe God wouldn't have used it as an illustration of how you and I are to treat our neighbors. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, help us not only to be a church, Lord, that reaches out to people, but God, help us to be a church that cares for them. God, help us to be a church that loves them. Lord, when they're filthy. Lord, when they don't have the right clothes because they've been torn and tattered and stripped from them. God, when they don't have the right demeanor. Lord, when they're laid in a ditch, half dead. God, don't let us pass by on the other side. God, let us be a church. As we go our way, as we journey, we come to where they're at. Lord, show compassion. Love them. Lord, bring them into the inn. Help them. Help the wounds. Bind up their wounds. Pour in some of the Holy Spirit. Pour in some of the Son. God, that they may be healed and healed completely. God, help us to do our part. Lord, use us for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.